Nelson Mandela celebrates his 90th birthday on Friday. As you might expect, there's a full program of events in South Africa and celebrations from exhibitions to rock concerts around the world. This week's issue of Time magazine pays tribute to what it describes as the closest thing the world has to a secular saint. Mandela at 90, The Secrets of Leadership. Richard Stengel, Time's managing editor, wrote the piece, and he joins us momentarily. We'd also like to hear from you. What lessons do you draw from the life and work of Nelson Mandela? How has he made a difference in your life? Give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Years ago, Richard Stengel co-wrote Nelson Mandela's autobiography, Long Walk to Freedom, and returned to South Africa this spring to visit the former rebel, former prisoner, and former president. He joins us from his office in New York. Nice to have you on the program today.
Great to be here. Thank you, Neil.
And first of all, you mentioned as you met him that the thing you realized that he must have missed the most all those years, 27 years as a prisoner on Robben Island, was access to children.
You know, he does. He loves children. And in fact, there's a famous story on the day that he was released and he was supposed to give his speech in downtown Cape Town. The car actually got lost and he was in Constantia, which is this very plush suburb of Cape Town. And they were driving down and there was a young white woman with a baby stroller on the street. And Mandela asked his driver to stop the car. He got out of the car, and he introduced himself, and he said, "May I hold your baby?" And it was the first baby he had held in many, many, many years. And he loves to be around children, and I think one of the great deprivations that he had was that he not only was not around his children, but any children at all.
It's fascinating. You describe a man who has, of course, accomplished astonishing things in his life and has taken this astonishing moral position in the world, yet you say he's not a very reflective person.
Well, you know, in your introduction, Neil, you quoted us calling him, or me calling him, a secular saint, but the end of that sentence was saying that he actually would describe himself as something much more prosaic, and that's a politician. I mean, he was a masterful politician. He was a man who had a very strong and keen and overarching moral goal, which was to overthrow apartheid and to bring one man, one vote elections to South Africa. But after that, he was a pragmatist, and almost anything that would get him to that goal was something that he would consider and that he would do. And he's not, you know, to go back to your specific question, I mean, he's not introspective in the sense that he thinks, well, should I have done that or should I have done this and what's my motivation for that? I mean, he is a man of action and he's very, very analytical, but then he acts.
One of the lessons that you say you draw from his example is the last one, is knowing when to quit.
Mm-hmm. I think in some ways almost the most important thing, I guess I would argue the single most important thing he did as president of South Africa, the first president of a free South Africa, was that he retired after one term. It was very much like something that happened in America with George Washington. The Constitution in those days never said anything about how many terms you could serve, and there were plenty of people who wanted George Washington to be president for life, which effectively would have been a king. That's essentially the situation that Nelson Mandela had in South Africa. And by retiring after one term, he became, you know, one of the first and only African heads of state to actually say, look, you know, the voters put me in here and I'm retiring. I'm going, you know, out to my farm, and democracy has to take its course. And certainly what we've seen in a country just to the north of South Africa, Zimbabwe, the absolute opposite example of that.
We want to get some listeners in on this conversation. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. We're talking with Richard Stengel of Time magazine about his recent visit with his old friend, Nelson Mandela. Let's go to Leon. Leon with us from Athens, Ohio.
Thanks, Neil, for taking the call. Nelson Mandela, to me, has lots of meaning, but his main thing is perseverance. Someone who kept their eye on the prize the entire time, never lost his dream. He's a modern-day Joseph from the Bible come alive. And as an African-American at 55 years old, it's very parallel to watch a young Obama and look at a elder such as Mandela and see the beauty of what it could be. And so he means a lot.
Well, it's your caller does point to something which I think is right and do talk about, is that he never took his eye off the prize. I mean, that, he had an unwavering goal, and it didn't deter him. He had enforced patience by the fact that he was in prison for 27 years, but he never lost hope. I did, Neil, when I saw him a couple of months ago in South Africa, ask him who he would support in the presidential campaign, and this is when Senator Clinton was still in there. And he smiled at me and waved his finger and said, "You're not going to get me into that."
Hmm.
But he was following it pretty closely.
Thanks very much for the call, Leon. One of the interesting lessons that you have from Nelson Mandela: know your enemy, then learn about his favorite sport.
At a fairly early age, I mean, in the 1960s, early 60s or late 50s, before he went to prison, he realized that if apartheid was going to be overthrown, he really should know his antagonist better, who, you know, in this case were the Afrikaners who were imposing apartheid. And he started learning Afrikaans, which was something that South African, you know, black males certainly didn't do very much. And his comrades in the ANC used to tease him about it. And once he went into prison, he really made an effort to speak Afrikaans to the guards and to try to understand them. And as Cyril Ramaphosa, who was one of the great leaders of the UDF and the union movement afterwards, said that if Mandela realized that if he could actually come to terms with these Afrikaans prison guards on Robben Island, who were among the crudest and cruelest people that you'd ever want to have to deal with, then he could figure out how to have a rapprochement with the Afrikaans politicians and the Afrikaans people of South Africa.
Let's get Jan on the line. Jan's calling from Denver, Colorado.
Yes, I wanted to share that I think the greatest lesson that Mr. Mandela presents to all of us is I am African American, and so living in a system where I am often target or victim, I have learned to conduct myself with forgiveness and grace. And in that process of my forgiveness and grace, I feel better able to tune other people into what is offensive, what is, to explain the system to my coworkers and how it is sometimes seems designed to hold people like myself and other people of color back. Say, for instance, what we just finished the conversation with prior to this segment,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's really interesting. Maybe times are changing. And poking fun in a satirical manner may not be appropriate anymore as it was in the past. But see, if I react negatively and violently and do all of that I am humanly capable of doing that is not good or beneficial to you or I, then I cannot share that perspective with you. But if I can listen to your perspective, be offended, and then work myself into a mindset of being able to forgive those who offend me, then I am better able to teach them and help them understand and see that sometimes things change.
Hmm.
And
well,
that we may not need to do everything that we've done in the past the same anymore.
Richard Stengel.
Thank you for taking my comment.
And thank you for calling, Jana. And certainly grace and forgiveness. Forgiveness, I think that a lot of people found very difficult to understand from Nelson Mandela, but he carried it off with that incredible grace.
Yes, and as the caller said, I mean, with great grace as well. And I think what she said was something that he would understand, that you do have to, you have to forgive your adversary if you're ever going to come to terms with him or her. And that's not to say that you don't feel bitterness or resentment, but he, as a practical politician, realized that he couldn't show that bitterness or resentment, and he hid it in a masterful way. I think he also is by nature, by his own genetic endowment, is an optimist. He always thinks things are going to be better, and that certainly suited him in terms of both, you know, figuring out how to last those 27 years in prison and then how to triumph once he got out.
We just have a few seconds left with you, but you also describe Nelson Mandela, I guess inevitably, as a frailer and foggier figure than the one you used to know. How's he doing?
Well, he's 90 years old. I mean, he looks fantastic when you see him. I mean, his skin is kind of eerily unlined, and he still has that magnetic smile, and his eyes still twinkle. But, I mean, I think he's not, you know, his memory isn't what it used to be. He is very frail. He, you know, I brought my two boys with me, and they basically sat on his lap like he was a department store Santa Claus, and I think that is how he had a really good time. So, but it's lovely to see him, and we'll be seeing less and less of him just because he's not out there as much anymore.
Well, Richard Stengel, thank you for giving us this this intimate view of him today.
Thank you very much.
Richard Stengel is managing editor of Time magazine and wrote this week's cover story for Time. It's called Mandela at 90, Secrets of Leadership, and he spoke to us from his office in New York. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.